Oh, yeah, that was Fellowship Creative, Grace Upon Grace. And boy, don't we need that grace today, maybe more than ever. Today, May 17th, is National Pack Rat Day. It's a day encouraging us to take a look at ourselves and see if we have pack rat tendencies within us. A pack rat holds on to, collects, or hoards often unneeded items. You know, for many of us, we are holding on to too much stuff, not just in our closets and our drawers, but maybe in every area of our lives. So how do we get unstuffed? Well, on this Pack Rat Day, I thought it'd be a good idea to consult an expert. Yeah, we're going to be talking with New York Times best-selling author Ruth Sokup. She is the author of Unstuffed, Decluttering Your Home, Mind, and Body. Hi, Ruth.
Hi, how are you?
I am doing really well. I tell you what, this is a very timely book for me. I've been reading it and enjoying it. Tell us about your personal journey and what inspired your book, Unstuffed.
Well, I noticed that you called me an expert, and I would just like to clarify that I am not an expert, which is exactly why I needed this book and why I wrote this book. I actually started writing a few years ago. I started a blog called Living Well, Spending Less, which was a journey of learning just that, how to live well and spend less. My husband and I were fighting too much about money. I was buying way too much stuff, and I really needed a way to hold myself accountable. And so the journey towards becoming unstuffed has just been sort of a continuation of that process of learning to live well and spend less. You know, at first, I really wanted to continue getting all the stuff I still wanted just to pay less for it. But then eventually I realized I was filling up my home and our lives with stuff. And that was when the real transformation started.
You know, I think so many of us can relate to that. What do you think is behind that desire for more stuff? Why, especially here in America, do we have so much stuff in our lives?
You know, I think it is such a ingrained part of our culture, and especially with advertising and just the consumerism mentality that we live in, it is this constant message that is given to us, you know, whether we're watching TV or reading magazines or looking on Facebook, whatever it is, it's this message that something else is going to be the thing that fills us up. Something else is going to be the thing that makes us happy, and it's always something. Mm-hmm. And it's never that thing that makes us happy. And so we're continually looking for the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. And that is how our lives get so filled up.
You know, the Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. And I think so many of us are lacking that contentment today because there's always an if only I get this, or if only I do that, or if only I can be this, you know, then I'll be happy, then I'll be content. But that never happens, does it?
No, and retailers know that, and they're constantly peddling the promise of this is going to be the thing that fills you up, and we buy into it every single time because we're all so empty, and so we think it's this constant battle to try to find the thing that's going to change our lives, but it never does.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about walking through the baby department now. I mean, my kids are grown, but, you know, years ago, babies, you know, they were born at home and they slept in a drawer and, you know, and they survived and, you know, grew up. But today you walk through the baby department and there is so much stuff, and it always has to be new and changing to keep people buying more stuff. It just, and that carries over into every area. You know, you also talked about decluttering our minds and our souls. How do we begin with all that unstuffing, all that decluttering?
Well, you know, I think it's the way that we fill up our minds and the way that we fill up our souls with stuff is very similar to the way that we fill up our homes with physical stuff. So it's all sort of a manifestation of the same problem. So just like, you know, the physical clutter is this promise of that this pillow is going to be the pillow that, you know, changes everything and makes me makes my home feel beautiful. And this storage container is going to be the storage container that finally gets me organized. Well, a lot of times we fill up our schedules with the same thoughts, thinking that's going to be the thing that makes us happy and the thing that makes us content. And then the mental game that happens with that of just the guilt of so much stuff and the guilt of not wanting to get rid of the stuff, but then the guilt of having too much stuff, and we get into this vicious guilt cycle of not knowing really how to get out of it. There is just so much that goes along with all this stuff.
Do you think that maybe we're looking externally, whether it's through an accomplishment or some more stuff, that we're looking for our worth? When it comes down to it, we need to find that worth alone in Jesus Christ, and that gives us the freedom to cut down and, like you said, to get rid of a lot of that extra clutter in our lives and to live more, spending less.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think at the end of the day, and this is really, you know, the whole point of the book, is that we, as Christians especially, we seem to have this idea, and often have this idea, that, you know, once we're saved, we then are responsible for maintaining that salvation. So, you know, thanks God for saving me, now I'll take it from here. And so we think we have to dress the right way and look the right way and talk the right way and listen to the right Bible studies and say the right prayers. And we put all this pressure on ourselves to create our own salvation, and we forget that the work has already been done for us, that we've already been given the gift, and that we have been saved despite ourselves and despite the fact that we keep messing up all the time, and that it's nothing that we can do. And I think in the end, becoming unstuck, truly unstuck, is about realizing what's been done for us rather than what we have to do or what we have to buy or what we have to fill our lives with.
That's so good. You know, we can never be good enough. We can never do enough to earn that grace and that favor of the Lord. And I really believe He wants to set people free from all that. And I do think that that is underlying a lot of this drive to have more and to be more. Well, for our listeners today who are saying, yeah, right, you're talking about me, but where can I even begin in getting unstuffed? I mean, you don't know what my home looks like. You don't know what my life looks like. Give us some practical pointers we can take away to begin that journey of being unstuffed.
You know, what was the day again that you said it was?
Of course, this is National Pack Rat Day. Yes.
National Pack Rat Day. I will start with my favorite piece of advice, which is, before you try to get rid of even the first thing, I really recommend that people create a vision for their home and be really realistic about how you use your home and who you share your home with. Because I think a lot of times the reason that we fill up our homes with so much stuff is because we have this ideal in our head that has nothing to do with reality. So just like when I go to Target and I see the pretty pillows, you know, that are almost in caps and they're so cute, and I can visualize exactly how my living room is going to look with these adorable pillows on my couch. But the reality is that when I get home, those pillows are only ever going to end up on the floor because my husband hates them and my kids throw them on the floor, and they're not that cute when they're on the floor. And so a lot of times I think if we can start to be really realistic with how we want our home to feel when we walk in the door and who we share our home with, we'll start to realize what needs to stay and what needs to go. So that's the first step. Is definitely creating that vision for your home.
That is a powerful one, because as I was reading that in your book, I realized, again, that carries over to so many areas of our lives, that we have this vision of what we should be or what our home should look like or how we should talk as a Christian. And instead of being real about, you know, what is my home really going to be? Is it going to be a place where friends and family drop by and they're comfortable and we hang out? Is it going to be a place where you host, you know, nice dinner parties, which don't come to my house for that, because that's not my thing. You know, it's just being very realistic about who God's created us to be and, you know, how He wants us to be hospitable and have people come into our homes and what they're going to be used for. I thought that was very wise in really assessing that in all areas of our lives. So where do we go from there?
From there, well, then I like to use a little acronym for getting rid of clutter that is called Becoming Clutter-Free, F-R-E-E. So it's a four-step process, and I'll just really, really quick go through this, the four steps. But the first is to fight to stop the flow. So that's your F. It's to fight to stop the flow, because the first thing we have to do is stop bringing anything else in. It doesn't matter what we get rid of. If we're still shopping and we're still going to Target every week or going to garage filling on Saturday morning, whatever it is that we enjoy doing or whatever it is that's filling up our home, we need to stop. And it's a fight, because for a lot of us, it is a fight. We have to be very vigilant. So that's our F. And then from there, we have to reduce by ruthlessly purging. So that's where we just get rid of everything that we're either, and I have two criteria, despite who gave it to us, and despite how much it costs, keep only that which is currently useful. So that's really the thing. People have so much trouble getting rid of things because they paid a lot of money for it or because it was a gift, but keep only that which is currently useful.
That's pretty ruthless. So
that's pretty ruthless. And then from there, I recommend we go to our E, and the first is to establish strict guidelines. I like to, or establish strict limits, and I like to, like, actually come up with numerical numbers for the number of things that you can have. So, like, in my closet, I have 40 hangers, and I have 40 items of clothing that I am allowed to hang up, and if I have more than that, then I need to get rid of something. It helps to be a lot more selective. And you can do that with your kids, too. You know, say, okay, what is a reasonable number of stuffed animals? Is it 5? Is it 10? But whatever that number is, then keep only that number. And so set strict limits for yourself. So that's your first E. And your second E is then to evaluate quality over quantity. So I think a lot of times we buy so much, but we don't buy very high quality. But if we're buying less, then we can afford to really focus on quality over quantity.
Yeah, those things that will last and really serve us well instead of us having to serve them by trying to find space for them and take care of them. You know, I was thinking, too, of the decluttering for the kids. You know, if you're cutting down to 5 stuffed animals, you know, make it worthwhile and make them feel good about maybe donating them to some children in need at a children's hospital or a shelter or something like that. A lot of ways that you can unstuff and still help others. What else can our listeners do to begin this journey of decluttering our homes, minds, and souls?
Well, you know, I think that if they're focused on those 4 steps, then those are different. You can really find a way to implement those in all different areas in your life. So whether or not you're working with your kids, you teach them the same guidelines, or whether or not you're trying to deal with your paperwork clutter, it's the same type of guidelines. So really working to fight to stop the flow, to reduce by ruthlessly purging, to establish your strict limits, and to evaluate quality over quantity in every area of your home.
And what's the payoff for all of this?
Freedom. And that is like feeling free from the guilt and from just feeling like the walls are closing in on you.
Yeah. And I think all of us can relate to that, but I think it is a fight for many people to begin that process. So I like you starting out with that fight to stop the flow, because we got to change habits. We got to change directions. We got to turn that ship around. And sometimes that takes a lot of effort and a lot of work, but it is worthwhile. Ruth, you mentioned your blog. Can you tell us how listeners can find that?
Absolutely. My blog is called Living Well, Spending Less. You can find it at livingwellspendingless.com. And you can find the book Unstuck wherever books are sold or on our website at unstuck.com.
Cool. Well, we will have all that information on our website as well. So if you're driving and you can't jot that info down, check our website at praisednetwork.com. Ruth, thank you so much for writing this book and for sharing your journey with us and for the good information you've given us to start that process of decluttering our homes, minds, and souls, knowing that that is a big step to freedom, isn't it?
It definitely is. Well, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Again, our guest today has been Ruth Sukup. She is the author of the book Unstuffed, Decluttering Your Home, Mind, and Soul. Thank you, Ruth. Have a blessed day.
Thank you. You too.
And for all of you pack rats out there, you know what? God wants you to be free. Here's Mandisa.